Well, good morning. Good morning. How are we doing? Good. Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend. I think we could do a little bit better than that. Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Hey, thank y'all so much for being here this morning. My name is Michael, and I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption Church. And we are so honored that you're here on this Memorial Day weekend, and just wanted to say thank you so much. And I know that we've already told you this, but if you are new here, we want to say a special welcome to you. And we want you to know today that you are our honored guest. And we are so thankful that you're here this morning. We know there is lots you can do, especially on this longer weekend. And so we are honored that you're here with us today and celebrating and worshiping Jesus together. And so thank you so much for being here. And hey, today we are going to be here ending our Colossians sermon series. My job today is to be able to land the plane. We've been in a series where we've gone verse by verse through the book of Colossians in a series that we have titled Jesus Above All. And we started at the beginning of our series saying that we need a revolution of the soul, that we need to reorient our life and center it on the gospel, that we need to center it on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And so today, we're going to end that today and see how Colossians and how Paul finishes out his letter to the Colossian church. And before I jump into that today, I do want to say and just hit again that Kids Weekend is happening Friday through Sunday, June 23rd through the 25th. And we do that partly on purpose because we know that many of you in our church will be off on Friday, will be off on Saturday morning and Sunday as well. And we want to give you an opportunity to be able to serve. And so whether you have worked with kids every single day of your life, or as a mom, or just in a field that has kids, or whether you have never worked with them before, I want to say that we have a spot for you to be able to use your gifts to serve at Kids Weekend. And y'all, the truth is, Kids Weekend may be the best way to reach the people of the Roanoke Valley. This is not just another event that we do to be able to keep kids busy. But this is one of the biggest and most impactful events that we do all year. And so I want to call on those of you who call Redemption Church your home. And I want to ask you, whether you are a parent or whether you're not, I want to ask you to sign up to serve and use your gifts. Because we know as kids get excited about church and the gospel, and they come into Kids Weekend and they get to experience all that we have in store for them, we know that God will use that to bring the parents back to be able to hear the gospel as well. And we pray that they will come to know Jesus Christ and lives and futures will be restored and that they will be in relationship with Jesus the way that we get to do that as believers. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you. If you call Redemption Church home, sign up for Kids Weekend. And you can go to redemptionroanoke.com/kidsweekend to sign up. And that, as Rich already said during the announcements, we're going to have a section on that website where you can sign up to serve further down. But there's also an Amazon wish list where you can actually purchase things that we have put on that wish list for this event. And it's going to be an incredible weekend. So make sure you do that. And y'all, we value Kids Weekend because it builds authentic community, especially for our kids. But even more so, or all of us need Christian friendships. All of us need Christian friendships. And that is the title for the sermon this weekend. And as we're finishing up, we're talking about kingdom friendships. And in our culture today, friendships are declining. I read an article this week in the New York Times entitled, Americans Have Fewer Friends Than Ever Before. And the article starts off with this sentence. It says, now there is a loneliness epidemic. A recent survey found that the majority of Americans have fewer friends than they did 3 decades ago. And the article states that the pandemic is partly to blame, but friendships were actually on the decline before the pandemic even started. And COVID has now even made it worse, with many people losing close friends over the last 2 or 3 years. Per the study, nearly half of all Americans, 49%, report having fewer than 3 close friends. 49%. This marks a nearly twofold increase from 1990, when less than one-third, 27% of Americans had 3 or fewer closer friends. And if that isn't bad enough, a mind-boggling 12% of interviewees claim to have 0 friends today. 0 friends. 4 times as many as 30 years ago per the survey. Y'all, I can't imagine going my entire adult life not even having 1 close friend. Not having 1 Christian or kingdom friendship or just a friend in general. So church, maybe this decline in friendships, maybe it describes you. You would say that you have lost some close friends lately, or you are lacking true friendships in your life. And what I want to tell you today is a couple things. Number one, that it's not too late. It is not too late that you're in one of the best environments to be able to foster kingdom relationships and friendships and build authentic community. And y'all, it is vital for Christian maturity that we have kingdom friendships in our life. It is vital for our maturity to grow in that way. And so if you're taking notes, here's the main point for today. Build kingdom friendships. Build kingdom friendships. Y'all, we need to work for them. And we need to work on them. We need to work for them, meaning that in our culture and in our lives, we know we live in a sinful and broken world, right? Scarred by sin. And so all of us at our core are going to be selfish and self-seeking. And so it's the easiness of building friendships does not exist anymore. It's difficult to be able to find good, close friends because all of us are concerned with our own lives and ourselves. And so we need to work for them to find them, and we need to work on them. Once we get them, right, the same thing applies. The sinfulness and the brokenness of ourselves makes us bad friends at times and makes us bad friends. So we need to work on them and get better at them and build kingdom friendships. And so build kingdom friendships. And throughout the New Testament, we see early Christians relied much on a network of friends. Without support and friends, partners throughout the world, Christians could have never succeeded in advancing the gospel across national barriers. All Christians need a community of friends and fellow workers, and maintaining such a network across the empire required much time-consuming, costly, and dangerous travel. And the variety of those listed by Paul, the friends that he lists here today that we're going to read, is astounding. He lists a slave, a physician, Jews, and Gentiles. And y'all, this shows that the gospel reached into every sphere of life to recruit committed missionaries. That's what the gospel does. No matter what we look like and our backgrounds and how we're different, the gospel brings us together because it's the grace that God has given us, and it transforms us and it makes us look more like Jesus. And so we're here in Colossians 4 today. And if you're like me, it's tempting to disregard the concluding greetings and the blessings of Paul's letters with these clusters of names as an insignificant part compared to the theological meat found in the body of the letter. But here, it's that we get a glimpse into the boiler room of the New Testament. It's those saints that are laboring in various capacities and in various places throughout the Roman Empire. And so if you're anything like me, as we come to the end of Colossians, we're going to see that Paul names a bunch of names in these last 11 verses. And it's very easy if you're reading your Bible and you open it up and there's a chunk of names or a genealogy. I don't know if you've ever looked at that. And you're like, well, I don't really need that section. Let me go ahead and move on to the next one. And it's so easy to do that. But what we're going to see today is there is so much good stuff. There is so much amazing things that we can glean and learn from these texts of scripture. And so we're going to see here in Colossians, Paul mentions 10 separate names and 10 people in these last 11 verses. And y'all, Paul valued people, and he especially valued his friends. And so let's read today in Colossians 4, 7 through 18. Colossians 4, 7 through 18. And it'll be on the screen, or if you want to turn there in your Bible as well. It says this, Tychicus will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and a faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that is happening here. And Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas's cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Verse 11, Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings, and these are the only Jewish believers among my coworkers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they have been. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. Verse 13, I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters in at Laodicea and Nymphia and the church that meets in her house. After you have read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so that they can read it too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them and say to Acrippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting. Paul, remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. Amen. Y'all should say amen just for that long section of scripture I had to read. Hey, bear with me today as well. As you can see, I think one of the reasons that Carter had me preach this text is because of all these hard names in here that I have to read this morning. But what we're going to see today, based on our text here in this chunk of scripture, is what I want to show you is four kingdom friendships that we should expect to experience. Four kingdom friendships we should expect to experience. Number one is this, the friends that we send. The friends that we send. This is based on verses 7-9. And y'all, we have to make friendships before we can see people sent, before we can see them sent. That is what we see with Paul here. And Paul was a friend maker. And right, it's almost like an equation. When you're around other gospel-centered believers, we naturally will multiply. When we get around people that love Jesus and care about Jesus, right? The Bible says that we're to get around each other to stir one another up toward love and good works. And so when we're around other people that love Jesus and want to serve him, naturally we grow. Our church grows, our community groups grow because we are getting around and we're loving and caring for each other. And naturally we're growing in those groups. And in these first three verses here, Paul is writing from Rome, and he is under house arrest, and he is writing in physical chains. He's tied up or having someone scribe what he is saying. And he is sending, so what he does is he is sending two people back to Colossae on his behalf with this letter. And one of the two people Paul mentions is Tychicus. He was the person who delivered the letters of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. And these are known as the prison epistles, not counting Philippians. And he was probably the one who carried them all this way. And you can just imagine for a moment that he probably never thought in his wildest imagination how God could use these letters that today in 2023, we would actually be reading his name in the letter itself. And he was the one who just walked that dusty road, right? Carrying the letter back then, right? There's no fax machine. There's no email. There's no copy maker. So they just had the single copy and they had to walk it from town to town. So you talk about snail mail and we think mail is slow during COVID or today. You imagine how long it took just to have that one copy going back and forth from church to church and town to town. And so we see in verse 8 here, we see Tychicus was sent to encourage other, Paul says. He was sent to encourage the Colossian church. And y'all, we need friends to encourage us, amen? We need encouragement. Adam told me a story this past week that when our church first got started, he was in a DNA group with Carter. And Carter said something that was so profound to him that Adam felt like he really wanted to tell me this week is that we were talking about kingdom friendships. Carter said that when our friends sin, either when we catch them in sin or whether they confess sin to us, the first thing that we need to do is to remind them of the gospel. That's the very first thing that we need to do. Start with encouragement and then move to accountability. We don't start with corrections first. It's so easy to immediately move into corrections. Well, you need to change this. You need to do that. You need to fix this. How dare you do that? How could you do this? No, the very first thing we need to do to our friends that are caught in sin is we need to love them. We need to tell them about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for even that sin, that he loves you, that he gives you grace. We need to hear the gospel and what he has done for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we need to hear that first. And so y'all, we have to be gracious. We don't start with corrections. And you could say it like this if you're taking notes. The experience of grace should make us gracious. The experience of grace should make us gracious. Y'all, when we experience what God has done for us, what do we naturally want to do? We want to give that to other people. And we want to give that grace when people mess up and they wrong us. We can know that, man, Jesus has done that for me. So I can do that for others and I can love people well. As Christians, we must combine a bold, uncompromising witness with civility, gentleness, kindness, and good humor. And before we can make disciples, we need to make friends, right? Before we make disciples, y'all, we got to make friends. We need to build rapport. How much more are you willing to hear what someone has to say when they show that they genuinely care about you first? Man, I can hear hard things from people in my life when I know these people, they love me, they care for me, and they care about me. And so y'all, 10 years ago in 2013, I enrolled at Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and I thought I was there to learn how to be a pastor. But I believe that was partly it. But I believe God put me there so I could see what it looks like to build real friendships, kingdom friendships, the ones that would last a lifetime. And during my time there, from the seminary to my local church, God established these amazing Christ-centered relationships. And my group of friends saw some of the hardest things in our church that you can imagine. But y'all, through it all, God sustained us and help us to be of one heart and one mind, as Paul says in Philippians, and through some of the most difficult things that you could ever imagine. Some of the most difficult things. I remember going back and thinking, man, how in the world, this could easily cause a split in our church. This could easily cause a split in our friendships. But God sustained us. And then after 3 years or so of being together, all of these friendships that I established started splitting up for the mission of God. I remember I was sent to Vermont to be a part of a church plant there, and others were sent to DC, Washington, DC, and San Francisco. Some went to areas outside of Charlotte. And I am so thankful, man, for God, for the memories that I got to make with those friends. But we can all see the impact that God has allowed us to have because we got to be sent out. And now those relationships that we established and we learned how to establish, we got to take that to other parts of the United States and some even to the world. And so it was incredible. And we pray, y'all, that this will happen in our church. As much as we love you all and as much as I love the community that God is forming here at Redemption, and I look on social media and I see things like Michael Frazier and John Mark on a mat doing chizitsu together, and I look at people going to graduation ceremonies. I look at others hanging out and helping others move. And I see moms hanging out together and having play dates with their kids. Y'all, I love our church. I love our church so much. And I am so grateful to God for you. I am. But y'all, we pray that God would let us experience a lot of gospel goodbyes. A lot of gospel goodbyes. Meaning that many of you in this room, we pray, would be sent out to plant a church or to move your life across an ocean for the sake of the gospel. That you will move your lives to an area of the United States that a new gospel-centered church is needed. And maybe in the meantime, that you'll say goodbye to your community group as much as you love them and you care for them so that you can help start another one in another part of our valley. Y'all, Carter mentions this in Starting Point, but our goal, as we're thinking about the metaphor that describes our church together, as we're thinking about that metaphor, we want it to be an aircraft carrier. We want this to be a place where you can come in every single week to land, to get refueled, to get rest, to be trained and equipped, and then you are shot back out and sent back out on the mission of God to bring others in and to do the same thing, to get refueled, to get trained, and be sent out again as an aircraft carrier. That's what we want here at Redemption Church. And so that's the first group that we're going to see today. The second group of friends that we'll see today is this. Number two, the friends who stay. The friends who stay. And this is based on verses 10 through 13. And so let's read that one more time. It says, Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' son. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends you his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my coworkers, and they are working with me here for the kingdom of God. And what a comfort they have been. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. And I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So y'all, these are the friends who stayed with Paul in Rome. The first one is Aristarchus in verse 10, and Paul says that he is in prison with me. That's what he says in that verse 10. And he was from Macedonia. Aristarchus was from Macedonia and was one of Paul's traveling companions. And he is seen in scripture three times with Paul. The first time that we see him is in Acts chapter 19, when a riot broke out in the city of Ephesus. So he's there with Paul, riot breaks out, and there's a big riot going on. And whenever Paul went to preach, there was either a revival or a riot, right? So how much fun would it be to travel with Paul? Every time you go with him, you're traveling with him as a buddy, man, riot breaks out, revival breaks out. Either way, man, how awesome would it have been to travel with Paul? The second time you see Aristarchus is in Acts 27 when Paul is shipwrecked. And he is on the ship with Paul and was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And now the third time that we're going to see him is in our passage here in Colossians 4. And now he's with Paul in prison. And y'all, don't you like friends like that? Every time we hang out, there's a riot, we get arrested, we're thrown in prison, we get shipwrecked. Can you imagine his mom saying, "I don't want you hanging out with that Paul anymore. He's a bad influence," right? You're always getting arrested, thrown in jail, shipwrecked, causing a riot. And y'all, I don't know how many parents would say to their children, "You need to be more like Aristarchus. Be in prison with your friends. Do what they do. Go follow Paul," right? Yet what we actually need to see from this section of scripture is that Paul was around a lot of people who wanted to do the work of ministry. He surrounded himself with people who loved Jesus. Paul surrounded himself with people who loved Jesus. You have heard it before, but you are who your friends are. You are the sum total of your friends. And so surround yourself with friends who want to serve the Lord. Write that down if you're taking notes. Surround yourself with friends who want to serve the Lord. And I love this quote from Pastor Craig Rochelle. He said that you're the average of your five closest friends. You're the average of your five closest friends. And so especially, hey, students in this room, especially, hear me on this. If you're in school still, this is important for all of us, but especially students. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. If you want to change who you are, then change who you're with. If you want to change who you are, then change who you're with. I remember one of my closest friends in the world, we met in fourth or fifth grade playing football at our elementary school in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he was actually my only Christian friend at the high school that I was in throughout high school, throughout middle school, the only Christian friend that I had. And to this day, 22 years later, we're still great friends. He was in my wedding and he still prays for my wife and I as we serve our church. And he actually just came up with his wife a few weeks ago to celebrate his birthday. I didn't have to go down there. He came up here. And so as the rest of our high school and our middle school was concerned with following the world, we were able to keep each other grounded because we had each other. It was these kingdom friendships that God established to be able to keep us grounded in him. And another person that is mentioned is Epaphras. And we see Epaphras here is praying for the Colossian church. And his goal for the Colossian believers is no different than Paul's, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. We see that in verse 4:12. And so what Paul is doing here in the book of Colossians is he is bookending the beginning and the end of his letter to the Colossians with this idea that you may stand mature and be fully assured in the will of God. And during this time, outside opponents were attacking the Colossians' faith. So this church in Colossae, their outside opponents were attacking their faith and they needed to stand firm. The will or the thelma of God, it doesn't refer to what God wants them to do on the day to day. But what this means is that Paul and Epaphras is praying that they would understand God's plan of salvation, that God has chosen to make known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Epaphras, like Paul, wants the Colossians to grow in their understanding of all that God has done in Christ, so that they will not become easy marks for false teaching. And they will not become thinking that this has an appearance of wisdom. So y'all hear me on this, right? In our social media and smartphone obsessed age, the culture around us will teach us if we do not guard our minds. So the same thing that was happening in the book of Colossians, that what was happening is Colossians and others in that area were combining the gospel and God's word and these letters with other teachings about the day in different religions. And it was all just wrapped into one. And that's what we're doing. If we're not careful in our smartphones and our obsessed age with social media, where we can get so much access to so many things, we'll combine something else with the gospel that is not the gospel and it's not God's word. And so we must guard our minds. And so, like Epaphras, we must pray for our friends. We must pray the way that he is praying for his friends, praying for this church, Paul says, day by day. We must pray for our friends. Paul again reminds the Colossians of the prayer bond among Christians by telling them that Epaphras is always wrestling for you in prayer. It is said that Epaphras may have founded the Colossian church. So this guy founded the Colossian church and he did not forget them. When he left to become somewhere else or to go to do ministry somewhere else, he continued to pray for them, perhaps suffering from the same anxiety for the well-being of his church that plagued Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:28. Y'all, we see the Greek verb here, wrestling, which is translated agonizomai in Greek. It may allude to the same struggle that Christ had in the Garden of Gethsemane. The same struggle that Christ had. That's what Epaphras, because he loves these people so much, his friends, he is praying with that kind of anxiety. Lord, please, would you save them? God, would you help them not fall into false teaching? Would you help them to love you? Would you help them to stay centered on you and in the gospel? But Paul uses the same word, agonizomai, in Colossians 1:29 to refer simply to his missionary labor. And so Paul connects prayer with his working hard for them. In the battle metaphor, pictures prayer as a struggle. As we're praying, we're struggling, right? It is the work. And I love that. Pastor Carter said during our Pray for the Sermon series a few months ago or last summer, we said prayer is the work. It is a battle. And I love the fact that Epaphras doesn't wait for things to grow desperate before interceding for his people, right? Epaphras is not waiting for horrible things to break out in that church and in the city, and that's when he's finally going to pray. No, it says that he prays for them day in and day out. He is consistent in his prayers for them. Y'all, that reminds me of a pastor I knew of in New England, and from the time his children are born, he would lay hands on them, usually on their ankle, as they were in bed from the time that they were born, and he would lay hands on them and he would pray and pray that God would save their souls. He would pray that, man, God would love and care for them and protect them. And he would pray for them day in and day out. And he said, now two of them have been married and are living outside of the house, but one of them is still in college. And he knows even the older ones that are married, when they came home from the college, and the youngest one, when he comes home from college, they know it at 18, 20 years old. When they go upstairs to go to bed that night at their parent at his house, he's going to come upstairs as a 20-year-old and he's going to lay his hand just really gently on their ankle. And he is going to beg God to continue to be with them, to love them, to show them grace and mercy. And he's going to continue to pray and lift them up. So I love that. He wasn't waiting for a crisis to break out in their lives. He wanted to teach them from the youngest age possible. Man, what does prayer look like? And how can I do this out loud so that they can see and be a part of this as well? And during sermon planning this week, Caitlin had a great example of setting aside a daily schedule to pray for different people. We have the reminders on our app, and we can set schedules to be able to pray and care for people. We have so many things at our fingertips to be able to do that. And most of our phones have voice memos and texting, right? So even if we're not with our friends, we can send a prayer by voice memo. We can send a prayer by text, and we can send that to people to encourage them and to love them even when they're not around. And so let me ask you today, what does your prayer life look like? What does your prayer life look like? Do you pray for our church? Do you pray for your friends? Do you pray for other churches in the Roanoke Valley? That's what Epaphras was doing. He was still praying for a church that was in a different town about 10 miles away or even further from where he was. So we want to pray for the other churches of this city, the Christ-centered ones. And we see Paul had friends who stayed with him and encouraged him, but we live in a fallen world, scarred by sin. And so the third group that we're going to see today is the friends who strayed. the friends who strayed. This is based on verse 14. It said, Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Demas, who is mentioned here, is mentioned as well three times in scripture. In each one of them that he's mentioned, they get progressively worse. They get progressively worse or distant. And in 2 Timothy 4:10, we see Demas leaves Paul because he loved the things of this world, Paul says. Demas has left me because he loved the things of this world. So Demas is one of those friends that disappoints us. And the truth is, friends can and often will disappoint us. And y'all, what is the lesson from that? When friends leave us, when they abandon us, what is the lesson in that? It's to keep our eyes on Jesus above all. Keep your eyes on Jesus above all. Amen? Amen. Jesus will never let you down. He will never abandon you. And Carter has been saying from our first sermon in Colossians that we have had a revolution of the soul as Christians, that Christ is our center, not our friends and not anything else. And as much as we need kingdom friendships, we cannot put all of our stock in our friends. It's great to have a trustworthy friend, an encouraging friend, and serving the Lord together. But if they fall away from the Lord, if they backslide and go back into the world, don't let that stumble you or offend you. I've met Christians who say, I don't go to church anymore because my Christian friends have let me down. They've abandoned me. They've let me down. We cannot rely on that. We have to trust in Jesus. And so when you have friends and people that you are caring for and discipling, and they walk away from the faith or let you down, don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. We know that God is the one at work, and we can be confident that at the end of the day that he is sovereign. And Matt Wagner said something as well in sermon planning this week. He said, don't get hopeless. Y'all, we live in a microwave society that wants things instantly, right? And so we want people to be changed instantly. We want this to happen instantly. But we have to trust that God is at work, that even in the midst of our brokenness and the brokenness of this world, that he is at work. And we have to know that he is working in our friends, he's working in our families, and y'all, he is working in our relationships. And so in all of this, we remember that Jesus was known as a friend of who? Right? A friend of sinners. Y'all, that is amazing news. That's amazing news because we are all sinners in need of a savior. Isaiah 53:6, it says, all of us, like sheep, have gone and strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. When we were at our lowest, Jesus died for us anyways. For some of us, it would be easier to say, well, I don't really care about them. I don't really need them. Y'all, don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on your relationships because Jesus has not given up on us. Amen? Amen. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us anyways. And so y'all, Jesus is the greater friend. Jesus is the greater friend. Jesus laid down his life so that we, his friends, the believers, could walk into eternal life with God. In Jesus' own words in John 15:13, it says, there is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus did just that for us, so that if you believe in him, that you would inherit eternal life. And so I want to say today, if you're in this room and you would not say that you're a Jesus follower, I want to beg you, I want to encourage you, please put your faith in Jesus. He loves you. He is the greater friend. So I want to urge you today, please believe in him today. Y'all, what an appropriate weekend to think about laying down one's life for his friends. Because on Memorial Day weekend, we celebrate and we mourn the loss of those who have given their life for us as Americans. And their sacrifice for our physical freedom mimics Jesus's ultimate sacrifice for our eternal freedom. Jesus really is the greater friend. And so y'all, the last group that we're going to see today is that the friends who we salute, the friends we salute. In this last chunk of scripture, let's go ahead and read that together. It's verses 15 through 18. It says, please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nymphaea and the church that meets in her house. After you have read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so that they can read it too. and you should read the letter I wrote to them and say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. Remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. Y'all, the Greek word for greeting here can also be translated as salute. So Paul is saluting his friends that he knows will be eternal, that will not just last in this lifetime, but into the next. These are the friendships that you will have forever, the ones that will last for a lifetime. And we pray at this church that you'll be building those types of relationships, that you'll be building these kingdom friendships that will last for a lifetime because you have served together, because you have lived on mission together. There is something about that bond that holds us together that nothing else can. It's that fellowship that we have in Jesus. And so we pray that you will be building those types of friendship. And y'all, Laodicea was only 10 miles or so from the city of Colossae. And Paul is encouraging churches to partner together, and he wanted his letters to be circulated among the different churches. And Nymphia is mentioned here as well. And scholars debate actually whether this name, whether it's female or male, they didn't really know, but many believe that this was a woman. And so during this time, churches didn't own property or buildings, so they would meet in houses. She let her church use her house for the mission of God. And so she was dependable. And the, what we know about her, she was dependable. And I've heard it said that the greatest ability is dependability. The greatest ability is dependability. I love that. Are you a dependable person? Are you a trustworthy friend? And can others rely upon you as a friend? Can others rely upon you as a friend? And the last friend that is mentioned here in Colossians is Archippus in verse 17, and it's believed that he was the interim pastor in Colossae. Epaphras had, we mentioned that he founded the church there and he had gone on to Rome with Paul. So Archippus had stepped up and taken his place as the elder and pastor there. And Archippus seemed a little hesitant and he seemed a little shy about the ministry that God has given to him. So Paul tells him, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. And a similar call he gives to Timothy, the same one that he gives to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy. He says, be sure to carry out this ministry. Do it. Get it to completion. Y'all, we need friends who will encourage us to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We need those friends, and we need to be those friends that encourage and challenge and push us. I mean, when things are difficult, especially in the Christian life, keep going. The life of a Jesus follower is not easy, but when we have kingdom friendships who encourage and pray for us, it makes the journey so much better. So I want to ask you, are you building these kinds of deep and authentic relationships here at Redemption Church? Are you building these types of deep and authentic relationships and friendships? If you come here once a month or less, y'all, you can't expect to grow in friendships and in community. If you get lonely, if you are lonely, then plug in, lean in. Lean in to kingdom friendships. And so let's apply this today, and we are all done here. So we're thinking about applying this text of scripture. We want to build kingdom friendships by, number one, joining a community or DNA group or serving in our church. Y'all, the community and DNA groups that we have are all built for that, to build authentic community so that you can talk about the issues that you're facing, that you're going through, the struggles, so that we can be challenged to serve and love Jesus deeper, that we can grow in our understanding of the gospel. And we are going to pause those for the summer months of June and July, but we're going to start those back in August. So I want to encourage you, as those start back, I want to challenge you, encourage you, don't forget about them. Don't put them off to the side, or sign up for those. They are vital. And we've seen during COVID, as friendships are on the decline, we've seen more people want that deep, authentic community than ever before. So make sure that you're doing that. And then as well, during that time, during that break from coffee to the lobby, to summer fun days coming next month, to our equip classes, and especially Kids Weekend. Everything that we are going to do this summer, all of it is designed for you to build real friendships. Everything is for you to build authentic community. And so lean into that. Number two, that we need to fight for our friendships. Fight for your friendships. We need to work at them. And in a fallen world, as I said at the beginning, they won't be easy. We can't give up on them. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, we need Christian friendships. And then lastly, this morning, as we're thinking about applying this, we need to build kingdom friendships with people who are different from you. And we need to build friendships with people who are different from us. Paul was around Jews, Gentiles, slaves, and many others. And so whether they are different race, they're from a different background, a different socioeconomic background, a different tax bracket, all of us can learn and grow from each other as believers. So we need to be building relationships with people that look different and are different from us. David Platt said that you have more in common with a Christian person living in a third world country across the world than you do with someone that lives in your neighborhood that looks just like you. And it's all because the gospel brings us together. All of it because of that. So Carter mentioned a quote as we're closing out our morning, our final illustration here. Carter mentioned a quote from a pastor that we both loved a few weeks ago, but he actually stole that quote from me. I gave it to him. So I want to steal it back because I believe that it's so relevant for our friendships here this morning. And I'll close with this. A pastor in North Carolina said people ask him, how much should they be involved in the local church? And he responds, to the extent that you want God to be at work in your life. In fact, he goes on to say, I'd be so bold to say that if you have no right to ask for the help of God, if you intentionally separate yourself from the means of that help. God, I need direction in my life. God says, that wisdom comes from the Spirit. And my spirit is housed in the body of the people known as the church. God, I need help in my marriage. Again, it's in my church. God, I'm lonely. God says, go to church. God, I don't understand you. Go to church. If you want God to work in your life, you have to be a part of the church. So that means if you disconnect yourself from the local church, you are disconnecting yourself from the power of God. So church, let's lean into God's power and let's build kingdom friendships together. Let's build an authentic community. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for who you are, God, and what you've done for us. God, we thank you so much that you really are the greater friend. That God, that you willingly laid down your life for us so that we could be with you for eternity. So God, I thank you for that today. I just pray that you would help us to model that in our own lives, that we would not be selfish, that we would be a people that the world looks into. And they said that there is something different about the relationships that are happening in that group of people. God, the way that they love, the way that they care for each other is so different, Lord. And I pray that that would be so true here, that God, you would help us to build kingdom friendships and authentic relationships. And so God, we love you. Thank you so much. And we pray that you would do that in our church and that you would continue to grow our church and see people sent for your glory, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.